The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, July 26, 2022 edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host for this Tuesday, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. The title for this evening's broadcast? Well, I'll let the Beatles sing it to you. Mike, go ahead and play clip one. Oh, Mike.
I can probably hum a few bars.
There we go. All right, Mike, that's enough of that.
Tyler, get back. You forgot.
Title for today's broadcast, folks.
You forgot what? To give me a joint.
A joint? Oh, no. Wait just a minute here, okay? you'll be here in a minute. don't get the cart ahead of the horse now, okay? The title for today's broadcast, folks, Get Back to Where You Once Belonged. And tonight, we're going to find out how. What am I talking about? Well, let me introduce you to a man that needs no introduction. As for an RBN listener, I'm sure by now most of you well know who he is. He has a show on RBN Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. Central called The Radio Ranch, and after spending much time reviewing his video interviews, his cited court cases and his regulations, even government documents affirming his enlightened message, well, after pondering for a few days how all this may just fit into our current circumstances of existence, I've become increasingly convinced that this man's message may just be the answer to taking back our constitutional republic without ever having to fire a shot. And with that, I want to give a quick thanks to Tom D. As from my perspective, Tom could not have found a more perfect fit in the Sunday slot to replace the late, great Ralph Winterrode. May Ralph rest in peace. I want to welcome Roger Sales to the National Intel Report. Roger, are you with me?
I'm with you, Mike. Nice to meet you. And I'm in Ecuador. We'd say mucho gusto.
Okay, mucho gusto. Well, listen, Roger, with your permission, I want to preface our discussion today by playing a clip. It's about 5 minutes long, and at its conclusion, I'm going to ask for your response, and we'll open our conversation about the massive deception that has been perpetrated on us for generations. The reason I picked this clip is because, as you don't know, and I'm going to share with you at some point on today's broadcast, the particular fight that many of us have been in for years and years and years, me starting back in 1994 with the ominous IRS, okay, this is the reason I picked this clip, because a number of these people I've interviewed personally over the years. So I want to play this, and I want to get your comments on it, Roger. Go ahead, Mike, play clip two.
There is no law, and to date, nobody has been able to show that there is a law for the average American citizen working day in and day out to pay an income tax.
But We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education put a full-page ad in the USA Today on July 7th, 2000, And within the body of that ad was a $50,000 challenge for anyone that could show the law. And to me, $50,000 is a lot of money. So I went after that and did the research based on the fact that I thought, let's put this baby to bed. I'm hearing all these rumors. You know, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'll answer these people's questions that are asking me. And then I'll win this $50,000. And, you know, based on the research that I did throughout the year 2000 and that I'm still doing, I have not found that law. I've asked Congress. We've asked a lot of people in the IRS, IRS commissioners, helpers. They can't answer, because if they answer, the American people are going to know that this whole thing is a fraud.
There is no law. There is no law that requires the average American worker in the private sector to pay a direct unapportioned tax on their labor and compensation for services. There is no law.
I really expected that, of course, there's a law that you can point to in the law book, the code, that requires you to file a tax return. Of course there is. I mean, I don't know what it is right then as he was speaking to me, but sure. So naively, I agreed to go off and research it and get back to him. 3.5 months later, I was at that point where I couldn't find the statute that clearly made a person liable, at least not me and most people I know. And I had no choice in my mind except to resign.
I had to leave the IRS because I presented evidence that I had accumulated indicating that the agency was violating the law and violating people's rights. And I asked the agency for a response to my sincere concerns. And the answer I got was that they would not respond to my concerns and that they would provide me with the paperwork necessary to tender my resignation.
You can look through the statutes and look for the law that requires you to pay. And when you do that, you can't identify a law that requires the average person in America who earns a wage and works in private business to pay an income tax.
American citizens, along with the foundation, have been asking the IRS to specifically provide them with the underlying legal foundation upon which they administer and enforce the personal income tax laws in our country.
At the national level, when people would attempt to contact somebody of a much higher authority, say the commissioner, same kind of thing. They would get answers that were in effect non-answers.
You have to understand that an agency which will unlawfully impose a tax that doesn't exist is not going to care. If we the people don't know what our rights are, they're not going to tell us.
If Americans just learned that the IRS was actually knowingly deceiving them, that would be enough for them to rise up and put a stop to it.
100% of what is collected is absorbed solely by interest on the federal debt. All individual income tax revenues are gone before one nickel is spent on the services taxpayers expect from government. People have been told, you know, that you need this income tax system to fund government, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, my question is, well, if that's true, how did we fund government from 1776 to 1913?
The main purpose of the income tax is not to raise revenue, but to redistribute wealth and to control society.
A lot of people might say, well, gee, if there wasn't an income tax, what would happen to education? They don't understand that education is paid for the most part, out of state and local taxes, your property tax. People might say, well, how are we going to build and maintain our highways if there's no money coming into the government? We need our highways. There is a tax on every gallon of gasoline that people buy. Proceeds from the income tax do not pay for highway construction.
I believe that in both spirit and substance, our tax system has come to be un-American. Death and taxes may be inevitable, but unjust taxes are not.
This small booklet includes the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. This is a document that every citizen should read. It's a document which freed an entire nation. This is the Internal Revenue Code, and this document, and the unlawful application of this document by the Internal Revenue Service, has enslaved the nation that this document attempted to free.
Folks, all right, Mike, cut it. Folks, you just heard from former IRS agents Sherry Peel Jackson, John Turner, Joe Bannister, Charlie Beal, former commercial pilot Vernus Kuglin, Bob Schultz, and G. Ed Griffin, regarding taxes and finding no law. Reference to the Peter Grace Commission report conducted under the Reagan administration. Even Ronald Reagan on the audacity of the agency. Now, Roger, all of these people of whom we've just heard, credible, professional people with years of research, frustration, and many times even legal consequences, including lawsuits and prison. Roger, have they, and I myself included, been looking in the wrong place?
Yeah, they've been looking with the wrong eyes, too. they were talking statutes. Mm-hmm. The country's run through the deep state is the administrative state. The administrative state built up after the bankruptcy in 33 to oversee the new serfs, us. They wasn't there before 33. One of those agencies out of the now 500 plus, by the way, is the IRS. And they are not a real government agency. They're a quasi-agency. They're a collection agency for the IMF working through the Treasury. And the Secretary of the Treasury is not paid by the United States. Did you know that, Michael?
Yes, I did.
Okay. He's the governor of the fund. It's right there in the statutes in Title 28, governor of the International Monetary Fund. That's who pays him. Also, they did it through treaty. The attorney general is also a designate of the IMF. That's why FBI and the whole DOJ is so corrupt. All right. Mm-hmm. But let's go back on your tax question here. My teachers were tax experts. Some of you have heard of the revocation of election process. That was my teachers that came up with that. A lot of people have used it. You don't want to use that, by the way. But that's how I got into this. And the reason I understand these and been able to figure out what I have is because I had a teacher named John W. Benson who loved the law and studied it his whole life, but never in law school. He went back and read real law. See, they don't teach law in law schools anymore. They teach procedure. They've been in control of American law schools through the American Association of Colleges and Law Schools, I can prove, for over 100 years. Okay, so if they can control that organization, they control the curriculum in law schools. They don't teach law. They teach procedure because that's the type of law we're being governed by. Okay, so let's go back to this tax question. We can spend the whole 2 hours on tax if you want to. Okay.
No. Okay. I put that out there as a lead-in to what we're going to talk about today, because I have to tell you, and I want to share with the audience here, Roger, I've been going down a rabbit hole on you for the past 3 days. I was tipped off to you by Tom D. here about a month ago, and for those of my long-time listeners who know, I was in a 20-year battle with the IRS, and the penny that dropped with me about you was... It was an administrative paper war. And what they do is you go back and forth with these people via the registered mail for sometimes up to a year, and then you won't hear from them. They'll drop it, and then a year or two later, you'll start all over again with another agency in Cincinnati or in Ogden, Utah, or, you know, in San Francisco or whatever. But at the end of the day, towards the end of that 20-year battle, I received a response to a letter I had written with them, or to them, and... in it, it stated the 14th Amendment, and I thought, what on earth? Why? What does this have to do with tea, you know, tea in China? And then I just forgot about it until it was brought up by Tom D. to me about a month ago, and I said, well, wait a minute here. There's something to this. And lo and behold, I find out there's not just something to this. There's everything to this. So go ahead. Continue with that.
Well, you know, let's start this way. We're in the Matrix. Can you define the Matrix, Michael?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, red pill, blue pill.
Well, I was looking for something a little more specific, but it's very nebulous and it's hard to dig. So why don't we defer to the expert on the Matrix, and that'd be Morpheus, right?
Yes.
Okay, and Morpheus said, you can feel it. You can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't touch it, but you can feel it. How accurate is that?
That's right spot on, I'd say.
Okay, and then his second comment was, it's like a splinter in your mind.
And it's true.
It was very accurate, okay?
Yes.
Now, the third one is the most accurate. Well, they're all accurate. The third one, he says, you're born into it. That is spot on. Okay. So let's address the tax question here in light of this matrix thing. Okay. I'd like to get some agreement with you, common agreement. I'm also including the audience here, and because we might have to refer back to it, and I'd like to make sure we're on common ground. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. There's only two political statuses. You're either free or you're a slave.
Correct.
Okay. God's plan is freedom. Satan's plan is slavery.
Correct.
Okay. Let's move to your tax.
Do I grade it on this test at the end? Do I get graded on
you,
this test?
Oh, yeah, well, you passed. You passed flying colors, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now I want to address your... I'm going to show you where all these people are wrong, okay? Joe Bannister and his... I met Sherry Peel Jackson. She was in Atlanta. I used to live in Atlanta for 30 years. And got my Patriot stuff, teeth cut and all that was there. Okay, would you like me to show you the law? Okay, well, I want you to put this in a search engine, okay?
Oh.
You and the audience. I'm going to show it to you.
Okay. All right, wait a minute.
I'm going to explain it to you.
All right.
Just okay, 26 mm-hmm. CFR
mm-hmm.
1.1-1 parentheses small a. 26 CFR, that's Code of Federal Regulations. 1.1-1 parentheses small a. Now, if you're looking at a Code of Federal Regulations Title 26 edition, it would be on the top right of the first page.
Mm, okay.
All right. Now I'm going to read it to you.
All right.
Excuse me. An income tax is owed. That sounds like a law to me right off, doesn't it? An income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents. And to the extent of 871 and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. Does that sound like a law to you?
On the surface, yes.
Well, no, it's a regulation that's promulgated by the agency. It is a law. It's called a little law because these are man-made laws by bureaucrats.
Right, right. Let me interject here. In thorough research in a book that I wrote many, many years ago called The Bully Around the Corner, after doing diligent research at the library before computers, after I went to an Irwin Schiff seminar back in 1994, I looked up this 26 CFR statutes and Title 27. And interestingly enough, CFR 26 doesn't, there's not any listing, there's no real legal teeth to it. It's administrative. Title 27 there is, but not Title 26. Right,
On the surface. Now, I was going to say, let me give you a little insight here. Okay. Title 26 was never signed by the Senate and signed by the President.
Right, right, okay.
You knew that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're one of the few.
I've researched this for better. Almost.
Well, how are they applying that law if it was not a law that was passed by the Senate and signed by the President? That's a requirement.
Well, how are they getting people to voluntarily file their tax returns every year?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah, enforce. No, they got a way. They got a method. Okay. So there's your law right there. It's the regulation, not the statute. They enforce regulations. The guys that come to with black outfits and beat your door down and stuff, they're not working on statutes. They're working on regulations because that's the agency promulgating. That's who they're attached to. Okay.
Right.
Now let's go back and analyze that.
Okay.
We haven't had the rest of the information yet, but let's go back and analyze that law. An income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States or residents. Okay, I got agreement from you a minute ago. There's only two conditions. You're free or you're a slave, right?
Right.
That's the slave position.
Right.
Okay, so as it goes on, and the exception of 871B and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. What's Jose the tomato picker doing over here filing income tax?
Is he filing? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. But isn't that Joe the tomato picker, non-resident alien?
I suppose we've got a lot of non-resident or undocumented aliens coming in on a regular basis, especially in my neck of the woods. So, filing a return? Go ahead.
You want to know how they're using that term? You're non-resident to the residency of the 14th Amendment, and your citizenship is alien from the federal citizenship. That's how they're using that. So now it goes back to there's only two, free or bond. Okay, we know what the bond is. That's the free guy. Labeled differently. You want to know why our community hadn't made any progress in 30 years? They keep,
please tell
they
me.
They keep chasing labels. All these guys are doing is a concept, and they relabel it and relabel it and relabel it. And our Patriot Legal researchers go, oh, look, it's a new pig. It's got new lipstick and a new tutu. I think I'll go chase it. That's what's going on. You got to look at the concepts. The concepts are easy, okay, because this is easy. The way they've done it is unbelievably complex, and they've done it complex in the statutes. They've done it complex for layers of fraud, and then they've gone in and screwed with your mind. And there's a James 1:8 verse in the New Testament. It says a double-minded man is uncertain in all of his ways, not some of his ways, not part of his ways, all of his ways. And what they've done, Michael, is they've made us double-minded. And the way they've done that is a trick called equivocation. You can go look it up in the dictionary. And in fact, if you go look it up in one of the old Webster's dictionaries, it'll give you the definition there. And at the bottom, he's got a note. He said, this is often used by non-Christians to trick Christians. I wonder who that could be.
Gee. Okay. Do I get three guesses? So, Revelations 2:9 and 3:9, maybe?
God, well, that's two out of the three right there. So what they're doing is they're taking keywords and assigning in your subconscious opposite definitions. So if I were to ask you, are you a citizen of the United States or are you a citizen of the United States of America?
Well, now I would say, not yet, because I haven't filed that affidavit. But
right.
I would say I am a state national that lives on the soil of Arizona. That's what I would say now.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
I'm going to correct you just a little bit. Drop the state and just use the word national.
Okay.
Because that's what the feds use. And the key to the matrix is us knowing the definitions they've assigned to these keywords and using the exact same words, because they can't get around that unless they change the definition again.
Okay.
So here's what's going on. A double-minded man is uncertain in all of his ways. You got a subconscious that controls 90% of your day and a conscious that controls 10. They go into the subconscious, they assign an opposite definition, and now you're double-minded. So now that we know their trick, as you stumble across these words, you go in and assign the correct definition to the word, and now every time you do that, you get a little slice of consciousness back. And then your subconscious and your conscious start working together as they're intended to by the big guy. And as Dr. Bruce Lipton said on Joyce Riley's Power Hour one time, when the conscious and the subconscious work together, it is empowering. And that's what we do, is help you get empowered, re-empowered with the God, the laws, and the power that your creator meant for you to have from birth that were stolen from you when you came out of mama's birth canal.
All right. Well, I'm with you so far. I mean, again, as I said, I've been going down the rabbit hole on your work here for the past few days, and I'm absolutely fascinated. And honestly, to my chagrin, and spending all of this time chasing these trails and following these trials, and I'm talking about everybody from Dick Simcannon, Glenn Ahe, Larkin Rose, you've heard some of these, Irwin Schiff, Sherry Peel Jackson. I had Sherry on my show. Now, let me tell you a quick story.
Charming lady. Sherry, I've met her.
She found out that I was having Judge Andrew Napolitano on my program. This is way back in, I don't know, 2007, maybe 2008. And she asked if she could call in and ask him a question. And I said, sure, Sherry. So I get Andrew on my show. And, of course, he's mainstream. So I had him on for all of maybe two segments. And she calls into the show. And she identified herself to Judge Napolitano, posed the question about the very issue. Is there a law? And if so, can you show me the law that, you know, provides that I pay an income tax? Do you know what he did? He hung up on her. He hung up. He blew my whole show off, Roger.
She should have called. She should have called me. I'd have given her 26 CFR 1.1-1A.
Well, and here's a supposedly constitutional lawyer that can't do that or won't do that. What does that say?
I'm not real impressed with Politano. Let me ask you a question, Michael, in the audience. You ever used the phrase constitutional rights? I've heard him use it a bunch of times.
I probably have on occasion. Okay. I'd have to look back in the cobwebs of my brain to find it. Well, probably.
It's very common. You see Ron Paul and all these big guys. You see congressmen use the phrase. You see our best lawyers, Sidney Powell and Robert Barnes, and those guys all use the phrase. So I want to ask you a question. I'd love to ask them, but I can't get to them. What rights does the Constitution give you?
None. They are affirmed by the Creator, but they don't. They are not the ones that give you the rights. They affirm the rights. Am I wrong in that?
You're wrong. You get rights out of the Constitution and the 14th Amendment. They're called civil rights.
Okay.
The others are God-given rights, and they're constitutionally protected. But the only rights the document gives you is under the 14th Amendment.
Okay, but
so everybody that uses that phrase has no idea reality what's going on.
Okay. The question you posed to me was, do I ever use the phrase constitutional rights?
Correct.
And from my perspective, correct me if I'm wrong, but from my perspective, the Constitution is nothing more than an affirmation of unalienable rights given to us by the Creator. Is that correct?
The Constitution is protections. You have God-given rights, as it states very plainly in the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution gives you protections. It gives no rights, with the exception of the 14th Amendment, when they gave civil rights to the black slaves that were taken, supposedly, that were taken off of the Southern plantation and then placed on the federal plantation under the label Citizen of the United States.
Okay. Okay, so I will admit that I go ahead.
If we're going to have a discussion, I want to hear what you got to say.
No, I was just going to say I'll admit that I'm wrong, or my definition is misplaced.
You just don't understand. We're really parsing nits here.
That's fine.
Hair splitting. You know, let me regress back to when we were kids. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to quote a quote out of Alice in Wonderland for you. Okay. Two quotes.
Okay.
Alice at the first is being taught by her teacher. She's in a field and she's daydreaming, as students oft do. And she ends up on this big tree limb that's parallel to the ground adjacent to where her lesson's taking place, and her cat's with her. And she says, if I had a world of my own, everything would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't. And then what it is, it wouldn't be. You see?
Okay, I can follow that.
All right. Now I'm going to go on a little further in the book. And I found this in the very front page of a legal research book when I was going to paralegal school, okay, from NOLO Press, which is N-O-L-O, NOLO Press. Really good outfit out of Southern California, Berkeley, with a bunch of how-to legal books, how to do your own divorce, how to do your own bankruptcy, that kind of stuff, for like pro se people or people who don't want or can't afford an attorney. And on the very front page was this. When I use a word, Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, it means just what I say it means, no more, no less. But the question is, said Alice, how can you make a word mean so many different things? The question is, said Humpty Dumpty, who's to be master? That's all. It's words. The title of my book is so accurate. From Sovereign to Served, Government by the Treachery and Deception of Words. That's what's happening.
By the way, I read that book 5 minutes after you sent it to me, Roger.
It's a masterpiece. I wrote an 80-page manuscript back in about 2005. Couldn't get anybody to read it. Left the country because of it, partially. And then I got a shot here on RBN to get this information out. And I had a manuscript, and the guy said, well, let's make a book out of it. So that got turned over to my two teachers. The law teacher was still alive. They, realizing after spending their whole lives in the tax field, realizing the jump up, and they edited that book. They didn't write it. They edited it. And
right,
it is a masterpiece.
I know. I've read it. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog with the National Intel Report with my special guest, Roger Sales. This is going to get even better. Can you believe that, folks? Stick around. More to come.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Your special Tuesday host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from somewhere in the abyss of Arizona with my special guest, Roger Sales, who has his own show. He replaced the late, great Ralph Monroe with the Radio Ranch on Sundays. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Central, is that right, Roger?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah, okay, because I tuned into a couple of those shows as well. I read your book, tuned into your shows, watched a few interviews, looked at some of these court cases. And I have to tell you, I am absolutely floored at some of this stuff that I read that I had no idea about, was never introduced to through all my years of research with the Internal Revenue Service code. And this was before the internet, just like you. I spent 3.5 months at the library, you know, day after day after day. Yeah, my then wife was just so aggravated with me, she couldn't even see straight. But, you know, the bottom line is this, is that, you know, if indeed, and we know we are under the 14th Amendment, they very deceptively ingratiate us by our own free will of volunteering into this feudal system, and we're in it now, We've been in it. I've been in it all my life. I've battled with them.
All of us have, unless we were naturalized. Then you were naturalized into it.
Right. And many, many people before us have gone down. Dick Sim Cannon, bless his soul, died in prison over it. Irwin Schiff died handcuffed to his bed over it. They offered
true
him
story.
A release.
That's true.
I knew Irwin. He died handcuffed to his bed, and they offered him a release if he would just recant what he was saying, and he declined, which I appreciate and I respect.
Got to tip your hat to that, guns. Man. Got to tip
yes.
your hat to that.
He didn't have it right. Many others. Pete Hendrickson's another one.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. But anyway, getting
but
back
you know,
to
none
it.
Of them cite that regulation I gave you guys, and none of them understand that there's a free one that only has two sections. By the way, those two sections are constitutional taxes, and that's the reason the national or they're a non-resident alien owes those. And if I know I'm going to get the question, so let me go ahead. One of them deals with expatriation. Why somebody would get a status like this and expatriate to another country is beyond me, so I don't think that one's ever applicable. Do you know that this national position is what we're talking about, the old state citizenship. There's only been two countries in the entire history of the world for 200 years, that long, that had those God-given rights. Mm-hmm. The first one was Rome, and the second one was us. Those are the only two countries in the history of the world that 200 years have had those. Okay, so if you find a way through the maze and reacquire them, nobody would want to give them away. Okay?
Well, you know, Roger, from my research, and especially what I, you know, my perspective, what I had said at the beginning of the show, I meant, which is what you have uncovered here in your research is, and the current events that we see unfolding in our society right now, I believe that this is the answer to literally taking back our constitutional republic.
Well, it is, and I can't get people's attention about it, and people can't. It's so complex, and you're having to turn all this programming in your mind around, and it's hard to get through it and realize this is the power taproot. This system being brought in like this allows them to place a property right on you. Okay, so we can go into the legal thing on that, but let me just go ahead. So they got a property right on you, and they use and collateralize your future income through the birth certificate, which represents your servitude, and they attach those to bonds. You know, isn't bond the root word of bondage?
Yes.
Okay, so that's how one way they use it. The other is because they got a property right in you. Now they can make bureaucratic man-made agency laws and enforce them on you. That's why the administrative state only grew up after the bankruptcy in 1933. Before that, there were no serfs to oversee. Everything was in law. Now let me prove that to you here. Okay, let's go back to the word property. You see, here's another trick they're doing. We're using two levels. We're using a colloquial level, and we're using a conceptual level way above that. They're working on the conceptual level. We're working on a colloquial level, and they beat us every time, okay? So here, Mike, I heard you paid for that car out there. It's real pretty. Is that your property?
Yes.
Okay. Well, colloquially, that's correct. We'd all understand that, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Legally, it's not correct. Your property is a right to the car, and the car in law is called a thing. So we're working on two different levels. Up to March the 9th, 1933, we had gold, and we were free people, right?
Yes.
Okay, no one had a property right on us, so we could buy things and pay the bill with real money. After March the 9th and the bank closure, the Treasury reopened up with the Secretary of the Treasury, which was a brand new position, by the way, because they didn't need him before that, and they issued, instead of gold, which Roosevelt took, and these creeps, went out with the new paper dollar, of which we're the collateral for, because now we're in servitude and we can't own things because they've now got a property right in us. But we can acquire them. We can't pay the bill. We can discharge the debt with other debt, these Federal Reserve notes, and we can possess it, but we don't own it. That's why you got a certificate of title on your car. That's why you can have your house paid off, and if you don't pay the property taxes, they'll sell it on the courthouse steps. That's why all those things happen, because after the change, they instituted this feudal system underneath the 14th Amendment. Now, let me tell you how they did that. They did that by assigning you a political status at birth, determined on where you're born. Does the term anchor babies ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay. Mexican mom comes over, has a child, child's a citizen of the United States, birthright citizenship, she's still a Mexican national. So the bloodline didn't transfer the hereditament. The place of birth named the hereditament. Okay? There's only one system in the entire history of the world where that applied, the feudal system. And it was a real necessary element in the feudal system because it allowed the manors to perpetuate their workforce without having to constantly acquire slaves. There's two positions in the feudal system: involuntary servitude, very akin to black slaves in the South, and voluntary servitude. Well, they can't tell us we're black slaves. We fought a whole damn civil war to overcome that. Only country in the history of the world that ever fought a war to end slavery. Because you see, they didn't do that. They fought a war to institute the 13th and the 14th Amendments, so 100 years later they could enslave everybody.
Okay, let me interject here. I want to ask you, are you open to taking calls? I haven't announced that yet, but we already have a caller on the line. So
we hadn't even covered anything yet.
I know. So that was my question to you, if you want to lay off on it, because my producer just asked
Let's get some of the basics out of the way. I'm not opposed to taking calls. I love to take calls.
Okay? All right, let's do seven.
Many of the audience are familiar with this and know of me and have been exposed to this information, but I'm to guess, and I don't know what percentage of your audience doesn't have any idea of this.
It's very possible, yeah.
Well, those are the ones likely I'm talking to.
Okay. All right, continue. We'll do second hour. So, Tim in Washington, call back in, or you can stay on the line until the second hour. I'll take you first. Go ahead.
Okay, so the 13th and the 14th Amendment work like an engine in a caboose, and I could tell you and show you right here, but we don't know enough and haven't covered enough. My conclusion is the Civil War was fought to get these two amendments into the Constitution so they could control the world with it 100 years later, because you can see exactly how they operate now that we understand the end game. We didn't know the end game, and you can't see how it all works together or what it's working towards. Now we know the end game. I can sit there and show it, follow the bouncing ball, da-da-da-da-da, okay? Well, let's go back to where we were a second ago. If you really want to understand this simply, and it can be explained simply, although if you can delve into it and really understand it, there's tons of complexity because you're undoing those knots in your mind, okay? After, up to the war to enslave the world, there was only one status in the United States, 90 years, was state citizen. There was no federal citizenship, okay? And it was a big dissension at that time, as it says in the slaughterhouse cases. There was much discussion in the public journals, in the newspapers. What if a person was born and raised in D.C. of the territories? They not only were not a citizen of the United States of America, they couldn't be one of those in anything short of a passage of the amendment to the Constitution. They were void. Okay?
Mm. Okay.
All right. So after the Civil War, we get the 13th and the 14th passed. All right. We could spend a whole 2 hours on this right here. All right. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to gloss over it. Okay. So after they're passed, now we bring what's noted at the time to be for the black slaves, which were property and they were brought up on the federal plantation. And unbeknownst to them, they're still property. Okay. And so that set up a series of laws called the Jim Crow laws. You're familiar with those, Michael?
Oh, yes.
Okay, white and black, right?
Yes.
White was the state citizen. Black was a new federal citizen. And all they've done, and we can go over a timeline if you want, is trick us into all volunteering into that secondary citizenship. If you think the white guys that ran the country gave those black slaves the same status they had, you're crazy as a loon.
Oh, well, that poses a question here, Roger, and I pondered this after reviewing a lot of your material. These, well, maggots, these cockroaches that infiltrate and have seats in our Congress and our Senate, are these people filing taxes, or do they know this, or are they just putting all their money offshore, or what? What's your thought process on
that? Well, I'm sure they're protected. I mean, you'll probably remember... You probably remember Jim Traficant. You've been around.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You remember him getting up in front of beam me up, Scotty, for those of you who don't. And he'd get up there. He was a former sheriff from one of the counties up in northern Ohio. And he got up in front of the Congress. I don't remember the date, but said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we're nothing but trustees overseeing the largest bankruptcy in the history of the world."
Well, he just repeated what Louis McFadden said in 1934.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah,
go ahead.
But there on the open floor of Congress, nobody had done that in quite a while. Okay, these people don't do nothing. Even if they pass legislation, it goes through the process. It's House and Senate passed. It goes to the president. It gets put over in the statutes at large. They pull it whole or part cloth over to the United States Code, the Roman Civil Code. And then depending on subject matter, they pass it to one of those $500 administrative agencies. And they then re-identify what the legislators pass and put out what's called man-made laws or regulations. And sometimes they're 180 degrees in the original intent of the legislation. So there's the lawmakers right there. Okay, so and that's called, you know what that's called? There's a label,
public,
Michael.
Public policy, maybe?
God almighty, God bless you, good. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Okay?
And see, policy is for the serfs. Law is for the free people.
Interesting.
Okay, and now back to the feudal system. Now we know what system we're fighting. Now we know the status is in there. There's either involuntary servitude or voluntary servitude. Well, we can't be an involuntary servitude because that's open tyranny. They're never going to be open tyrants. They got these little tricks so they get this jurisdictional nexus so they can be hidden tyrants. Okay? Now we know it's voluntary servitude, don't we? Well, what do we know about the feudal system? Mike, what do you know about this?
Only what I researched from listening to you.
Okay.
I never knew much about it until after. Go ahead.
Well, neither does anybody else. Why do you think we're in this condition? Okay. So in the feudal system developed in Europe after the downfall of Rome. The reason it developed was because the Goths and the Visigoths came down and tore the hell out of the western part of Rome. Okay, Spain and over to Italy. And when they'd do that, they'd come in between the cities and they'd cut off the roads and put the cities under siege. And they'd surround them. Well, the people that knew what were happening got out of the city. Well, where are they going to go? They're going to jump in the Mediterranean or go up in the country. So obviously they go up in the country. Well, who was the major landowners? Roman generals. Okay, they were awarded them a land. And so they'd go to the guy that was owning the land and say, hey, the Visigoths are after us. I need some protection. And the guy goes, well, give me some allegiance and I'll give you protection. And that's where the feudal system started. And that relationship between a liege man and a liege lord, you know, you've seen in movies where the guy takes his fist and he bumps his chest. He goes, yes, my liege.
Yes.
Right? Well, that's that relationship. This is the foundational relationship to the very critically important term jurisdiction. And the rule is protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. It's a reciprocal rule. Okay? And so that is the start of the feudal system. It progressed on through Europe, and it never got to England until 1066. And in 1066, William the Conqueror, who's the Duke of Normandy, and he did have a blood of claim on the throne of England, fought a guy named King Harold over there, and they took over. And this is interesting right here, Michael. Okay, in that battle, it's called the Battle of Hastings. Okay, it's in southern England, down around the White Cliffs of Dover. All right, and in that battle, Duke of Normandy was losing, and his archer had one arrow left, and he arbitrarily shot it into the air. And it hit King Harold in the eye and dropped him on the spot. His army retreated and took off running. One arrow arbitrarily shot changed the whole damn history of the world. Wow, huh?
That's unbelievable.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
So as William the Conqueror comes over, he brings the European common variety of common law, which includes feudalism, over to England, which never had it before. And that's the difference in the Anglo-Saxon common law and what we call the English common law. It's this overlay by William the Conqueror infusing the feudal system into English law. Okay, now in those days, if you're down in jolly old England, the economy, maybe they had a little, hell, maybe the price of coal was $18 a rock, you know, like we're going through gas now. And you go, well, I mean, hell, I can't afford to feed the kids. I can't afford to heat the house. I guess I'm going to have to go out to the manor and volunteer into servitude. And so when he did that, He'd go out. Now, this is represented. You got a scene in Monty Python's Holy Grail. This is called The Oath of Fealty, if you want to look it up on the internet. F-E-A-L-T-Y, The Oath of Fealty. And so they would go to the manor, and in this oath, witnessed by the other serfs, and the scenario is the lord of the manor would stand, you would kneel in front of him and put your hands in a praying position over your head. He'd place his hands over yours, and you would pledge an oath, and you'd pledge your body and all your worldly goods to the lord of the manor, witnessed by the other serfs. It's a contract. Okay? Now, if you volunteered into a position of servitude, it's like a sharecropper. He'd give you a little land back there, and you'd give him part of your crops and all that stuff. And if there's the adjacent manor wanted to come steal something, there was a fight, he'd ask you for protection for the manor. And that was your allegiance. He was giving you protection. Now your allegiance is to go help protect him. So does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Let me finish, because I don't want to lose trust. This is important, okay?
All right.
That is a contract, but it's a silent contract. Because once they enter into the condition, as they have children and the generations build, everybody's born into the same condition. But at any time, because it's voluntary, you can volunteer out. That's why this works. And that's why they recognize it and have to recognize it. Okay?
I got you there.
In understanding the feudal system and the conditions is our remedy. That's why none of these other people know are doing this, and it's hard and it's complicated, and they want to notify 50 people, and they're calling themselves sovereign citizens. Hell, these other people don't even know the system they're fighting. Much less the law that's governing it. It's not admiralty. It's not maritime. We're dealing with the Babylonian merchant code.
Okay,
called
so
the
let
law
me...
merchant for thousands of years, now called the UCC.
Okay, so let me interject here. We have, all of us, have entered into a silent not an adhesion contract.
You didn't enter it. You were born into it.
Okay, we were born into it. All right. We entered into it by being born, Roger. How's that?
Yep. And you know what's really happening here, Michael? You want to get to the real rubber meets the road? Esau has stolen his birthright back.
Okay. Well, I want to, at some point, and I'm going to open the phone lines up next hour, but at some point I want to get to this because, you know, I watched the video of an interview with you, and there was a young man by the name of National Presley, I believe is his name, amazing young man, 18 years old, that put together this one-hour video, and he taught me more in 55 minutes than I learned in 30 years.
Wow.
One of the things that I learned from this, and I'm going to pose this to you, and folks, I want you to know this, because in court cases that I reviewed, thanks to Roger Sales and his young friend, National Presley, is that under this system, I see all this stuff happening around us about all these school shootings, and they're trying to take our guns away, and the Second Amendment, all that stuff. Roger, that doesn't even apply under the 14th Amendment. In regards to, it's either Hague versus CIO or Twining versus New Jersey. I can't remember which one it is. But basically, they say in both of those Supreme Court cases that the first eight amendments have uniformly been held not to be protected from state action by the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment, which means we really don't have any rights. We have privileges, and they can take it away from us at any time. Am I right in that?
Don't you dare take away my civil rights.
Okay, so I am right in that, right?
Absolutely.
So in reading these, and that's not the only one, I'll cite another one. The right to trial by a jury in civil cases guaranteed by the 7th Amendment and the right to bear arms guaranteed by the 2nd Amendment have been distinctly held not to be privileges and immunities of citizens of the United States guaranteed by the 14th Amendment. Okay? In other words, if we're under the 14th Amendment, they're just pretending we have these rights. Am I right?
They're dangling the carrot out in front of you to keep you going, just like Rothschild sitting on the Galapagos turtle and hanging a piece of lettuce out in front of him. Same thing. Remember the term glass ceiling from the 80s, 60s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's what you got. You know, that was females getting into corporations. They never could get in the corporate board. That was a glass ceiling. Well, the glass ceiling here is you got civil rights, you're under the dictates of the 14th Amendment, and you can't access the rest of the Constitution because those are only for people with God-given rights. I mean, it's that damn simple, okay?
So all of us that are living under this, let me pose another question to you, because I've heard this, and I have heard it even on RBN. I have heard people say, including hosts, that I am not, because of what's going on here with the Ukraine thing and the rising gas prices, I refuse to contribute anything to these people, you know, unless they stop the war, blah, 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 blah. Well, they're already contributing. They're contributing by paying income tax. Am I right?
Well, no, that doesn't have anything to do with that. Indirectly, baby, okay? You mentioned in the thing you played earlier, and you talked about it, the Peter Grace, the Grace Report, which was commissioned by Reagan to try and downsize government. And Peter Grace said not one penny, a nickel, I think he said, of your income tax goes to the day-to-day running of the federal government. Really, where the hell's it go?
Well, I believe you described it as one-third goes to pay the agents, one-third goes to pay the bonds, and the other third, what, just vanishes? I don't know.
One-third's uncollectible.
Okay.
One-third goes to overhead, salaries and overhead, because they have to rent their own buildings. You never see IRS in a federal building.
Okay? Now, I've noticed that they've moved many times.
They're a private agency. That's why they don't get in with in the federal buildings. And the other third goes to pay the bondholders I alluded to earlier. And bond is the root word of bondage. And if you really want to get into the system and how things are generated, and we've got that absolute, total exact information now, thanks to one of my students, you'll learn that the birth certificate represents the assignment of your servitude at birth. It doesn't cause it. It represents it. The birth certificate forms two functions. On the top function level, it's a certificate of your birth, how much you weighed, what eye color, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Underneath, they're using it as a UCC document called a warehouse receipt. Okay. Now, a warehouse receipt is a very interesting commercial document. They've been around for a long time. And let's just take an example. You'll see where they came into usage. Back in the days of the Civil War, New Orleans had a lot of trade, obviously, and had a lot of bales of cotton. Well, bales of cotton are big and heavy. Okay. You're not going to be toting a bale of cotton around the street going to sell it. So if you had a warehouse receipt for the bale of cotton, identifying the bale of cotton, you take the warehouse receipt, because now legally the paper takes on the attributes of the good, and the good takes on a shadowy existence. What that means is the paper becomes the cotton. It's like a bearer bond, okay? So now they take that, and when it's generated, I can go through the story, okay, but I won't right now. They take that warehouse receipt as a birth certificate, and they attach it to the bonds that are sold all the time, and that's what finances the government. The IRS comes and collects the taxes so that they can go back and pay the coupons on the bondholders, which have already paid the financing day-to-day running of the government. That's why they're so freaked out about IRS. If they don't have IRS, the whole system crumbles because the bondholders don't get paid.
So all of this is an illusion. Oh, you didn't pay your fair share. Well,
oh, come on, that's just crap. That's all crap just to try and influence people. Okay, the tax system is truly voluntary. They trick you into it if you don't file on the front end with another tricky little commercial document called a confirmatory writing. These are all in this 1040 form. All these things are over in the UCC under specialty contracts. And we got a commercial, so hold that name.
Commercial contracts. We'll be back in two. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report, with my special guest, Roger Sales. Got a couple callers on the line, Tim in Washington, Greg in California. We'll get to you shortly after the top of the hour break. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.